This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. And we are going to do a program on Proposition 36, which is the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012. My guests are Jeff Hayden, who's a certified specialist in criminal law, former chair of the Criminal Law Advisory Commission of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, Steve Wagstaff, San Mateo County District Attorney, Michael Romano, Director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford University Law School, and Judge Eugene Hyman, Santa Clara County Superior Court, retired. What I want to do is give you a chance at some point during the program to call in, ask a question, make a comment. What we're going to do is we'll have Michael Romano summarize briefly what the proposed law is all about. District Attorney Steve Wagstaff will take and spend a few minutes telling us why you shouldn't vote for it, although that is not Steve's position, but he is going to give the position of the District Attorneys Association so that you know what it is. And then we'll hear from Judge Hyman, and we'll hear from Jeff Hayden about it also. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which certifies 11 areas of the law, which are appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding is made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding also is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. This is the third time that we have done a program on the Three Strikes proposed change, that is the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012. And we're, a couple of weeks or so from the actual election, a little bit more than 2 weeks. And Michael Romano, who is the director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School, is going to summarize for us what the law is. He's also going to give us some examples of some of the things that Michael and the Three Strikes Project are concerned about that have happened in terms of people being sentenced. So, Mike, if you would.
Good evening, Chuck. Thanks for having me back. So I guess let's start at the beginning. In 1994, California passed what at the time was and remains actually the harshest criminal sentencing law in the country, certainly the harshest non-capital sentencing law in the country, in the wake of horrible murders of two young children, Kimber Reynolds and more famously Polly Klass. And what the Three Strikes Law provided was that if a defendant had two prior convictions for crimes that were designated as serious or violent by the California Penal Code, if the defendant picked up almost any new crime, then they would be sentenced to life, the possibility of parole no sooner than 25 years. And as a result of that statute, there were many people, hundreds of people, turns out thousands of people, who were sentenced to life for extraordinarily minor crimes. And just to take a few examples, there's people who've been sentenced to life for stealing a pair of socks, for simple possession of a fraction amount of a gram of drugs, or stealing $1 in change from a parked car. These are all real cases of people that we actually represent at the Stanford Three Strikes Project. So about 10 or 12 years after the Three Strikes Law was passed, the Stanford Law School started a clinic to represent these people who've been sentenced to life for pro bono for extraordinarily minor crimes. And like I said, the cases that I mentioned, those are actual clients of ours who've been sentenced to life and serving life sentences for utterly nonviolent crimes. They've never hurt anybody in their current or prior strikes. These are sentences that are much longer than are imposed for rape and second-degree murder. So about a year and a half ago, we were approached by two very unlikely allies, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, which was started by Thurgood Marshall to litigate Brown versus Board of Education, is one of the leading civil rights organizations in the country, and Steve Cooley, who's the Republican district attorney from Los Angeles County, to see if there was a way to reform the harshest aspects of California's three strikes law and bring it in line with other recidivist laws in the country. And the result of that collaboration was is Proposition 36, which is the Three Strikes Reform Act that you mentioned. And what Proposition 36 would do is it would require that the third strike also be serious and violent. So in other words, you could only get a life sentence, or you would continue to get a life sentence if you've committed three serious or violent crimes. And if you committed a third non-serious, non-violent crime, you would get a enhanced sentence, a sentence that was double the ordinary sentence for that crime, but you wouldn't get a life sentence. And so Prop 36, as I said, brings California's three strikes law in line with the rest of the country that have recidivist sentencing laws. It restores what I think is the original intent of the three strikes law, which was to punish repeat offenders of serious and violent crimes. And it is, I think, a relatively modest change to one of the harshest sentencing laws in the country. It's endorsed by leading law officers throughout the state, including Steve Cooley, the police chief of Los Angeles, Charlie Beck, George Gascon, who's the district attorney for San Francisco, and Jeff Rosen, the district attorney for Santa Clara County. Almost every major newspaper in the state has endorsed Proposition 36, and it's also supported by civil rights activists and tax reform leaders. Anyway, so that's three strikes law on Prop 36 in a nutshell. I look forward to the conversation.
All right. Steve Wagstaff, if you would, district attorney for San Mateo County, if you would state your position and then give us, if you would, a summary of how the District Attorneys Association views Prop 36.
Chuck, thank you. Good evening. The my personal position is that this change in Prop 36 will not affect San Mateo County at all. It will not require us to change our policy, as the my predecessor and myself now as district attorney have implemented that law, certainly in the recent last decade. However, I am a member of the California District Attorneys Association Board of Directors, and that board has voted, and the position of the California District Attorneys Association is to oppose Prop 36. The basis for that opposition moves in this category. And number one is that every district attorney, 58 counties, has discretion as to how to apply the law. That is what this, starting in back in 1994, it gave to the district attorneys that option to seek it or not seek it in any fashion. We do not have to. And indeed, in our county, and certainly it's an approximately over 97% of the time, we do not seek a three-strike sentence when we could. Second point to it is that that discretion of elected district attorneys should be preserved. Is the belief that that is the right way to go, to trust each county elects this person to whatever their vision is of what is proper justice. They believe that is the right way to go, and that discretion should be preserved. Third, this is a not just the California District Attorneys Association. There are certainly individual district attorneys, such as my friend Jeff Rosen and George Gascon and Steve Cooley. There are individual police chiefs. However, the state Sheriff's Association, the State Police Chiefs Association, my understanding is, have also voted to oppose it as in law enforcement. But the other side that best would sum up why this is often called, it's a life sentence. And that's a misnomer. It's not. It's potentially a life sentence. What it really is, it's a for these people where it's selected, it's a 25-year to life sentence, which means we're going to say for these people who have these serious offenses in their past that you can face up, you will serve 25 years, and at that point, a parole board will decide. Now, I'm not calling that a small sentence. I know that's very serious. We all do. However, there are where it is applied, there are checks. Number one, it is not. It may be for minor offenses that may be eligible, but not minor misdemeanors. And remember, in the state of California, well over 80% of the crimes prosecuted are not minor misdemeanor offenses. They are minor misdemeanors. Felonies are the small percentage. And you cannot get this sentence for anything other than a felony. If one wants to rewrite the law to say that those offenses that have been mentioned are shouldn't be included, that can be done to say they're not felonies. But it only applies to felonies, and it only applies to say there's this minimum time you're going to serve for the people who have shown that they are not going to abide by the law. And there is a safety check. And the safety check that came in not at the beginning, not as originally written, but as the California Supreme Court interpreted it 2 years after its enactment, the judges are the ones who do the ultimate sentence, and they retain complete and utter discretion to strike the strikes and say, no, you're not going. You don't deserve a 25-year sentence, to life sentence. Now, I can only speak for San Mateo County. But I will say that in San Mateo County, our judges, with a very insightful and robust willingness to exercise that discretion, will strike strikes so that somebody doesn't get exposed. And that has certainly happened on multiple occasions. So that's the argument that people would make with the California District Attorneys Association, why the opposition to Prop 36 is appropriate. As I said, it's not where I'm at, but it is certainly what the State DA's Association is.
Let me throw this question out. My understanding is, under the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012, that if it is passed and becomes the law, that some of the people who are in prison at this point, who have been convicted of a third strike, will be in a position that they're, depending on what the facts are, and Michael, maybe you can explain this to us, will have the opportunity to have their three-strike sentence modified. How does that work? If the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012 actually is passed.
Sure. So if Proposition 36 is enacted on Election Day, people who are currently serving a life sentence for a non-serious, non-violent crime will have an opportunity to go back to the same judge who sentenced him or her and request a shorter sentence. If that judge finds that they continue to be a threat to public safety, then the life sentence is reinstated, or the 25 to life sentence is reinstated, and there's no change to the sentence. Mm-hmm. If the judge, however, now finds that the prisoner has been rehabilitated or is now old and infirm or for some other reason is no longer a threat to public safety, then the sentence can be reduced from a life term to, as I said, double the ordinary sentence, which in most cases will work out to be about 8 years, let's say.
This, again, though, would be for someone who, on the third strike, had been convicted of something that was not serious or violent.
Right. So the Prop 36 works in two ways. In one way, it works backwards, which is what we're talking about, and looking at people who've been sentenced under the three strikes law for very minor crimes, non-serious, non-violent crimes, over a decade ago. And the other way, it looks prospectively to the way that the DA was referring to in terms of people who are currently charged with non-serious, non-violent crimes, which is the practice in not only San Mateo County, Los Angeles County, San Francisco County. And this is one of those few opportunities where an initiative, the policy, has been tried and tested for over 10 years in some of the biggest counties in the state. And in fact, crime is down more in the counties that have implemented Proposition 36 voluntarily than the counties that have actually not implemented 36 and oppose reform.
Okay. Judge Hyman, what comments do you have?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to the show. I appreciate what Mr. Wagstaff has had to say with respect to justices local, and that is that the DAs in different counties approach things in different ways. And I appreciate that there are policy considerations. But having said that, I think your listeners need to be reminded that prosecutors, defense attorneys, judges are required to do things in the interest of justice, and that there needs to be that consistency in all 58 counties, just not in some. Judges, by their nature, are very conservative and are used to deferring to the discretion of the executive branch, which is represented by the prosecutor. My experience with three strikes has been, and myself included, that there's a great reluctance to strikes, unless it's a really an egregious kind of situation. Also, the important thing to remember is that judges were not initially granted the discretion to strikes by the initiative, but rather by a Supreme Court decision. And the judge's ability to strike a strike is at the back end, not at the front end.
Which means what?
There has to be either a plea or the person has to be convicted. So judges presently under current law may not strike a strike in order to obtain a plea. They can say they'll give due consideration at the appropriate time, but can't promise to strike a strike. That would be in violation of the current Supreme Court decision and other appellate decisions that have interpreted those decisions. And that, if a judge is true to the decisions, I believe, then it's going to be somewhat rare that a strike is, in fact, going to be stricken. I know that speaking for myself, that over my career I struck very few strikes, because you can't consider, as under case law, the harshness of a sentence. That is not a ground for being lenient. That is not a ground for exercising, striking a strike in the interest of justice. It has to be based upon other grounds that have been articulated in the seminal decision and others that have subsequently come thereafter. Also, it's to be remembered that there are some strike offenses that in and of themselves are not as serious. I mean, when we think of strike offenses, we think of stabbing, shootings, murders, rapes, molests, things like that. But currently under current law, a criminal threat, that is, I threaten you to harm you, that can be charged as either a felony or misdemeanor under 422 of the Penal Code. If it's pled and proved, it's a strike. As a felony, it's a strike offense. Mm. So that's an example of the...
And that's just a threat.
Correct.
No physical violence at all.
Correct.
But a threat of violence.
That's a strike offense. And the other thing to remember, even if a judge strikes a strike, if it's a serious and violent felony that has a 5-year enhancement in addition to the strike consequences, so even if you strike the strike, that 5-year enhancement is still there, and it's a mandatory consecutive sentence. So unless you're able to grant probation, depending upon other circumstances, assuming you give a prison sentence, that 5 years needs to be imposed on top of any other prison sentence.
Could you give us a simple example so that those of us who haven't had this experience understand what you're talking about?
So let's assume that you're charged with a non-strike offense and the person has one or two strikes behind them, and in the interest of justice and pursuant and consistent with case law, the judge strikes two strikes. So let's say the person has committed second-degree burglary, and under the totality of the circumstances, the judge feels that this person should be sentenced to state prison. So rather than having the 25 to life or having the sentence doubled because of prior strikes, because those have been stricken, the person is then given the triad of either 16 months, 2 years, or 3 years. Whatever sentence is imposed, the 5-year add-ons for the prior strikeable offenses, even though they were stricken, must be imposed. Hmm. So if there were two, then you're going to do an additional 5 plus 5 or 10 years because of the prior serious offenses. That is not changed under the law, under the proposition. Also, what is not changed under the proposition has anything at all to do with juvenile strikes, or to allow there to be any kind of ceiling with respect to juvenile strikes.
So does that mean if a juvenile had a strike, this is a serious or violent crime,
right,
a conviction of that as a juvenile, that means
right,
someone under 18 years of age?
Correct.
That means that that can still count?
Yes.
For the future, if this person as an adult,
yes,
commits another serious or violent crime?
Yes. Unless it's stricken by the judge in the interest of justice.
Right.
And the judge can't strike the strike mm-hmm. just because the person was under 18.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are, a mm-hmm. decision tree that a judge has to go through. But just because the person was young is not mm-hmm. in and of itself grounds.
Okay.
Or because it's a harsh result in and of itself is not grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, you can consider these various things to reduce a case that could be charged as either a felony or misdemeanor, to be reducing it to a misdemeanor, but you can't use some of those factors with respect to consideration of striking the strike.
Okay. All right. Jeff, you've been very quiet so far. Did you want to say something, Jeff? Jeff Hayden is a defense attorney, criminal defense attorney, former chair of the Criminal Law Advisory Commission of the Board of Legal Specialization, now a member of the Board of Legal Specialization.
A member of the Board.
So I have to be nice to you, huh?
That you do.
All right, go ahead.
If you want us to keep writing checks. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, there we are.
Of course.
There's the fundraising issue. Okay, go ahead.
I'm only kidding, and of course I'm not speaking for the Board. Much of what I had written down to say, Judge Hyman's just said, but I'd like to fine-tune it just a little bit. With regard to the juveniles and the juvenile strikes, one thing that Judge Hyman's brought up was that it stays with you. If a young man or young woman is 16 or 17 and they pick up one of the enumerated offenses, they have a strike that's on their record for life. Even if it occurred and went through juvenile court, where they don't have the procedural protections. But one thing listeners may not know is just how low the bar is set for some of those offenses in a juvenile court.
That's no jury, right? Or am I wrong?
There is no jury. There
in
was
a juvenile court. Okay.
No jury in juvenile court. There was a bill before the legislature last year for strikeable offenses. Didn't get very far. I actually wrote a resolution that passed the Conference of California Bar Associations last week, not to put a jury in juvenile court, because I think that's overly disruptive and wouldn't be productive, but rather would limit the application of the three strikes law to offenses that went through adult court.
Mm-hmm.
I am hoping that they are able to convince somebody in the legislature to take a serious look at that, but there isn't a single offense that could be a strike on the record of a young person that could not alternatively send them to adult court. And the serious offenses, when a young person uses a gun in an offense, when they inflict serious injury upon somebody, they're heading to adult court now.
Mm-hmm.
My proposition is aimed at the idea that when we know what the facts are, when the person is in the best position to make a decision how that's to be treated, it's the prosecutor that reviews it when they get all the police reports and all that stuff's around, and not somebody from another county 20 years later that merely sees that a petition was sustained and doesn't know that this particular robbery was because someone was shoved and you snatched the hat off his head.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the juvenile stuff, the bar is much, much lower. The judicial discretion is incredibly limited under the case law. Even if the strikeable offenses came out of a single case 20, 25 years earlier, the fact that they've had contact with the law for petty theft or things like that are all going to take it outside of the realm where judges can strictly follow the case law and still remove the strikes, one or more of the strikes in the person's record. Another thing that wasn't brought up is how absurdly different this law is being applied in different counties in the state. San Mateo,
the current law, of course.
The current law. San Mateo County is one of a number of counties, and unfortunately a very small number of counties, that applies pretty much where this proposition would be going currently and has been, and I commend them for it. There's a very small reform. But if you look at the numbers of three strikes people that are currently serving in state prison, we represent proportionately about half of what they do from some other counties in the state where they never strike strikes, just as a matter of policy. Mm-hmm. If there's one out there, they will find it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what other states are doing, you want to look at different locales. Five states. Now, we led the way with the three strikes law. We were the ones who led the way to the anti-recidivism movement and really creating the harsh anti-recidivism laws. Five states have now peeled back. Texas is a sixth that's looking at this. When they were looking at major prison construction, they backed away from it and instead put money into prison alternatives, trying to rehabilitate people. So we're not there leading the way and saying, it's okay, come to California, we're going to be soft.
So you're saying Texas has become more responsive in terms of trying to rehabilitate people?
Absolutely.
As opposed to us?
As opposed to us,
uh-huh.
Yes. Hopefully we're heading
in
that direction.
In this proposition, the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012, there is no provision, Michael, in there. Is there for rehabilitation, or am I wrong on that?
There's no specific provision for rehabilitation, but like I said before, is that there's a strong incentive for rehabilitation in that if you're currently serving a life sentence for a non-serious, non-violent crime, the only way that you can get out of prison under Proposition 36 if you demonstrate to a court that you're no longer a risk to public safety. And obviously, things that you can do in prison, including taking classes, drug rehabilitation, those types of things, would be relevant, I think, to a judge who's determining whether or not you're a risk to public safety. Now, there are a lot of problems with the criminal justice system. We live in a big state. There's a lot of budget concerns. There's county issues. There's statewide issues. Proposition 36 is really intended to be a rather narrow fix on what we think are, you know, on the one hand, the most egregious cases, but also really the most unintended and ineffective aspects of the three strikes law. So it doesn't touch the juvenile issues that we discussed. It doesn't touch judicial discretion that we discussed. It really only provides for a reduction in sentences for people who've committed non-serious, non-violent crimes, and brings it in line with really the rest of the states in the country.
Jeff, I interrupted you, and I'm sorry I did, because I cut you off a bit. Your position with respect to the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012 is what?
It's a move in the right direction, mm-hmm. but it's a very small, very small step.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good first step.
And what you are trying to do with what you did at the State Bar Convention in recently is trying to go even farther. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say go farther, because it's really a different reform that's completely unrelated. I would like to see them be done cumulatively.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says, let's take some of these people out of a three strikes category and treat them as a second strike.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that. I think it's a direction that we really need to move as a state. The other reform that I was proposing is really related but different, and that is to say, if the offense is small enough and minor enough that the young person is treated in the rehabilitative arena of juvenile court, it's not worthy of being made a strike. Let's not tie the hands of the judges and prosecutors in the juvenile court who seek to rehabilitate people by having them worry about whether there's going to be a strike on somebody's record later. They've already decided this is not worthy of adult court, presumably not going to become a strike that someone has to worry about, and yet the law says certain offenses, if they're found true, they're going to be strikes.
Well, let me stop you right there. We are getting to the point of the end of the statewide version of your legal rights. For those of you who are able to hear us live in the Bay Area, we will continue for an hour. If you're listening to us on the internet at www.kow.org, we will continue for an hour. Also, for those of you, whether you listen to us live or delayed, we will do our Call a Lawyer night next week. That is October 24th. You're welcome to call in at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., between 7 to 8 p.m. You might want to jot down the number. Pardon me, 1-800-525-9917. In case you're interested, the Board of Legal Specialization has a number of pamphlets available to you free. You can either call 1-415-538-2100, 1-415-538-2100 for any one of the 11 pamphlets of the specialties, or you can go to the website californiaspecialist.org. All right, it is just about 7:27, nearly 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. For those of you who've joined us just a little bit late, we're doing a program on Proposition 36, which is the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012. If you have something that you'd like to call in about, a question, a comment, maybe you have someone dear to you who has been convicted in some kind of a crime, whether it's a three strikes crime or not. We have some incredibly informative people, experienced people here who can respond to your questions. The number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. My guests are Jeff Hayden. He's a certified specialist in criminal law. He's the former chair of the Criminal Law Advisory Commission of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, now a member of the board of the Board of Legal Specialization. Steve Wagstaff, who's the San Mateo County District Attorney. Mike Romano, director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School. And Judge Eugene Hyman, Santa Clara County Superior Court retired. So I welcome you with your questions, your comments, your thoughts that you might have that you'd like to share with us. Again, 1-415-841-4134. Also, if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're a resident of San Mateo County, you can call your own San Mateo County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. This particular program of your legal rights is co-funded by the Board of Legal Specialization and the San Mateo County Bar Association, because both Steve Wagstaff and Jeff Hayden are members of the San Mateo County Bar Association. Of course, Jeff is a member of the Board of Legal Specialization also. So don't be bashful. Please join us with your questions, your comments, etc. Next week, when we're doing Call a Lawyer Night, off the air, I will be doing a program, and I hope you're not faced with this, or someone close to you is not faced with this, a home foreclosure. We're going to be talking about the basics of home foreclosures. My guests will be Keith Ogden, who's a staff attorney, Home Mortgage Foreclosure, the Community Legal Services Office in East Palo Alto. He's very experienced in this area of home foreclosures. Adam Kent, who's a bankruptcy law attorney, and attorney Phil Schechter, who advises and counsels homeowners facing foreclosures. So that's what we'll do, and then we'll have off the air your opportunity to talk to any one of our call lawyer lawyers, several certified specialists, and other people who are involved in other areas that are not certified, such as landlord-tenant, real estate, etc. So I hope you join us then. All right, who have we got? We've got George. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hello this evening. Thanks.
Hi.
I just had a couple of questions about the law itself, the three strikes law. Like, how the whole, like, chilling effect, right? The whole idea about three strikes was to, you know, scare people into not committing these big crimes. How is that? How is, like, the stats on that? Has, like, crimes gone down? And I'm kind of new to the area, so how did the how'd the law get into effect?
You're new to California, or what?
Oh, yeah, I'm new to California.
Where you been? Where you been all this time?
Yeah, I've been from Michigan.
Oh, are you? Okay, all right. And Michigan doesn't have a law like this, as far as you know?
I don't believe so. I don't
okay.
think they have
all right. Well,
law. I still don't really know how it got into effect, so...
Okay, well, let me get some comments for you, George. If you turn your radio back up, you can listen on the radio, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. What comments, Michael, do you have on this?
So, first of all, the three strikes law was passed, as I mentioned a little earlier, in response to a couple of really horrific crimes that happened in the early 1990s here in California, in particular the murder of a 17-year-old girl named Kimber Reynolds, whose father then went on to write and be the chief sponsor for the three strikes law. And then about 6 or 9 months later, an 11-year-old girl named Polly Klass was kidnapped and murdered in Petaluma, California, and the response to her murder was really nationwide and resulted in the three strikes law in California and in other states, including the federal government. Now, its effect on crime, I think, is a complicated question in real fairness. Since the mid-90s, crime has been down across the country, certainly throughout California, by a large degree. There's a number of contributing factors there, but, you know, I think longer sentences in some cases has helped reduce crime. However, and this is the important bit with respect to Proposition 36, every study, independent study, to look at the efficacy of life sentences for nonviolent crimes has found that they have absolutely no effect on reducing crime. And like I said also earlier, the policy in Proposition 36, which again would eliminate life sentences for non-serious, non-violent crimes, has been tried and tested in the largest and most diverse counties in California, including Los Angeles, San Mateo, Santa Clara, and San Francisco. And crime in those counties is down even more than the statewide average. And I'm not saying that these reform measures are responsible for the drop in crime, but I think it's pretty clear that if you implement these measures, that crime will not spike, as some people have suggested.
Steve Wagstaff, why do you think crime has been reduced at this point?
My opinion, Chuck, is that I very much agree with Michael. You can't determine it. It's impossible, because in the 1990s, when crime dropped to the level it's at now, which is the lowest throughout the state of California, big city and small, the lowest since the Depression. Number one, you can't blame it just on these laws. I agree. What effect they have, I think they have to have had some effect. Number two, we also had an economy that went booming ahead throughout the 90s and the first part of the 2000 to 2007. Booming. That had to play a role with crime going down, too. All these things are. And so my personal view is it's foolish to try and say that any of these laws reduce crime, just like it's foolish to say that if we take it away, crime is going to go skyrocketing. So Michael and I are in pretty strong agreement on this one very much. All we know is that I can just give practical. In San Mateo County, I had three career criminal prosecutors, repeat offender prosecutors that were funded by the state. By the end of the 90s, that was down to zero. We lost all funding for it because we found we didn't have the people to prosecute anymore. Now, I can't say they got picked up by three strikes. Some DAs claim it did. I'm not going to try and do that claim. All I know is that we no longer had the same level of career criminal prosecutors, and I have zero career criminal prosecutors in my office today.
Interesting. Jeff Hayden.
George, I just wanted to point out, you mentioned you didn't know if Michigan had a similar law. Michigan is one of five states that just rolled back their mandatory sentencing laws.
What does that mean, just rolled back? What do you mean?
In other words, they had laws that, in a lot of instances, would tie the hands of the judge once somebody was convicted of a certain offense. They did not have discretion with which to sentence.
So now that has been rolled back and the judges now have discretion?
In areas where they did not before. I don't believe they've totally abolished it, but it has been reduced.
All right. All right. Let me ask you this. You all seem to be agreed that crime has been reduced in the last few years. Now, we've had a terrible economy in this state starting around 2008. Are you saying that the level of crime is still low, or has it begun to climb again because of our bad economy? Or does anybody want to say anything about that? Michael.
You know, it's actually quite remarkable. I think a lot of people were predicting that the crime would go up with the bad economy. But the latest FBI statistics for the state of California continues to show reduction of crime statewide. This is even after the United States Supreme Court last year ordered that we release tens of thousands of prisoners because our prisons are overcrowded. And one of the reasons why I think that they're overcrowded, and we can get into this or not, is because we have these life sentences for non-serious, non-violent crimes. Mm-hmm. But in any event, crime continues to go down. And in some ways, it's a mystery. But certainly, you know, to get back to, you know, my talking points is, you know, that life sentences for stealing a pair of socks or a pair of baby shoes or joint of marijuana, I mean, these are not exaggerations, you know, do nothing to improve public safety. And I don't think that they were intended by voters who passed the three strikes law in 94 in the first place.
Interesting. All right. Steve, well, Steve, our caller, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there. Great program. I took an interesting class that was taught by Matt Gonzalez. And
who is Matt Gonzalez?
From the Board of Supervisors, and I think he's in the public defender's office.
Okay.
Now.
All right.
And he gave, and it's very complicated for people, I think, who are not used to, when you're given all your examples of the way that the years kind of pile up. Isn't there also a multiplier that the judge is ordered to put on there? And the way that it can reach back into your prior offenses, so that if a kid, maybe they stole a stereo at a party or a radio or something, and then they did a, they grabbed some jewelry, would be their second offense. By the time they get to that third offense, it really piles up on all the prior years. And then that a lot of people think, oh, this is going to be good, and it's going to put it the tougher restrictions. But as you said, it ties its hands judges in order to use their discretion. And judges, a lot of them, don't like this.
Well, let me get some comments for
you,
Steve, on that.
Yeah.
Using the example that you have given. And turn your radio back up.
Yep.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
This is 1-415-841-4134. Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guests are Judge Eugene Hyman, Santa Clara County Superior Court, retired. Mike Romano, director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School. District Attorney Stephen Wagstaff, San Mateo County. And Jeff Hayden, certified specialist in criminal law. He's now a member of the board of the law advisor. Well, actually, he's a member of the board of the legal specialization of the state bar. Okay, let's do this. Can you talk a little bit about Steve's example that he has given and thoughts that you might have where he's saying that they can pile this on? Yeah, Michael Romano.
So the way that the current sentencing laws are written is that, you know, it's sort of one law written on top of another, which wasn't necessarily anticipating the next laws that come after them. So it is true that if you commit one crime that's, let's say, serious or violent, and then you commit another crime, even for your second offense, then you will get a doubled sentence for that new offense. And there are other enhancements even on top of that. If you've been to prison before, if it was designated as a violent crime or serious crimes, you can get even, you know, additional enhancements. And these are crimes that are really intended to, I mean, these are sentencing enhancements that are really intended to provide extra punishment for recidivist offenders.
Which has nothing to do with the three strikes law as it currently exists, does it?
The three strikes law, first of all, includes some of those doubling components, but Proposition 36 doesn't touch that.
Mm-hmm.
And Proposition 36, in all honesty, acknowledges that repeat offenders deserve enhanced punishment. I mean, I think that that is fair. First-time offenders shouldn't get punished as much as repeat offenders. Proposition 36 provides that people who have committed multiple crimes, even non-serious, non-violent crimes like shoplifting or stealing a pocketbook, will get 6, 8, 10 years in prison. You know, that's up there with people who are committing rape and armed robbery. And so it still is incredibly harsh for even these nonviolent crimes. But what it does do is eliminate the life sentences for these types of crimes.
Okay, Jeff Hayden.
Steve's example suggested that he took the stereo from the party. This guy probably went into the home to do it. That sounds like he entered with that intent, a residential burglary. This is a serious offense. And similarly, the jewelry, if that was taken from somebody's home or if it was taken using force or fear, that's a robbery. I don't think any of us are seeking to say it's okay to do those kinds of things or to lessen the punishment for those things directly. The problem with the three strikes law in its current form is that those create something that this person will never get past, and they end up paying the price years, decades later for the smallest of infractions. And the problem with the current configuration of the three strikes law is that it throws out the baby with the bathwater. We want to discourage people from doing those things. But we don't necessarily need to throw away people for petty thefts, for drug possession.
Let me throw something out to you. There was a very interesting and significant article, and I think, Judge Hyman, you also brought it to my attention. But on Sunday, September 30th of this year, the San Francisco Chronicle did an article, lengthy article on drug care called Key to Avoid Third Strike, whereas a very significant percentage of the people who actually are serving time in prison also have drug problems. With our financial problems that we have in this state, we have not enough drug prevention, drug rehabilitation in our prisons, and although the proposed change in the three strikes law, the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012 will do away with a 25 to life sentence, it still doesn't answer the issue of the lack of rehabilitation. I wonder, Judge Hyman, if you would talk a little bit about it. I mean, the problem that we have, and certainly in our courts throughout the state, is we have this budget problem where we are losing, certainly in our county, Steve. In the clerk's office, last year we lost, I think, 28 clerks. I talked to one of our Superior Court judges recently, and I said, how are we doing budget-wise? And what he said to me was, I see it getting worse. And so if it's going to get worse for the courts in terms of financing and budgets, what's going to happen with our attempt to try to help people who need rehabilitation, who are drug users and who are in our prisons? Judge Hyman.
No, you point out as a very significant problem. You know, one of the things with respect to realignment is that people are coming back to the county jails. And most of us that have been involved in the criminal justice system know that if there's going to be rehabilitation, it happens at the county jail level. It happens in the counties.
Mm-hmm.
The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Rehabilitation is part of their name, but very little rehabilitation takes place in state prison. The article also pointed out that with respect to people that are doing state prison time, that only between 1,500 and 2,000 people receive significant substance abuse rehabilitation.
And that's per year.
Per year. And, you know, that is very, very concerning, because those of us that are involved And I know that Mr. Wagstaff and his staff are very involved with respect to drug treatment courts in San Mateo County. They work. We know those of us that are involved in rehabilitation or in therapeutic jurisprudence, drug treatment court, mental health courts, know that substance abuse is something that can be successfully rehabilitated. It's not necessarily extremely expensive any more than literacy programming is expensive, but it needs to occur on a more frequent basis. You know, Steve's comments and George before him reminded me I was having a conversation with a public defender from my county who happens to go to the same gym that I do, Gary Goodman. He says, you know, people don't understand that even as a public defender, I'm in favor of three strikes. He says, I'm a father, I'm a husband. You know, there's some serious crimes occurring, and people that commit these kinds of serious crimes need to be dealt with seriously. I just want checks and balances. I just want someone who's in a position to be able to disagree with the executive branch in the event that it's felt that there's overcharging going on. And there isn't under the present way in which three strikes is initiated with respect to the law in California. There isn't really full checks and balances. And that's really what's needed, is so that there is oversight, because none of us is perfect and we're all human, and there's individuals that occasionally are inappropriate with respect to the exercise of discretion, whether they be a prosecutor or whether they be a judge. Mm-hmm. There needs to be oversight. In the event that a judge strikes a strike and a prosecutor thinks it's inappropriate, they have the right of appeal.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that a defense attorney feels that a judge was inappropriate with denying the striking a strike, they have an appeal. The simple fact is that it almost never happens that if a judge refuses to strike a strike, it's almost never going to be reversed on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare, frankly, the other way, where a judge does strike a strike, that it's reversed on appeal. But again, it happens so rarely that strikes are, in fact, stricken. So there needs to be overall accountability for everyone that appears before the court, and that includes judges as well.
Well, let me invite you to call in, ask a question, make a comment if you like. 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. And again, I want to invite you next week, if you'd like to join us for Call a Lawyer Night, where you can talk to one of probably seven or eight attorneys off the air, in confidence, no obligation whatsoever. That will be doing that while I'm doing the regular program. You'll be able to talk with one or more of the attorneys off the air if you'll call 1-800-525-9917. For our program right now, if you would like to join us with a question, a comment, whether you personally have been involved in the legal system, have been behind bars yourself, or someone close to you in your family or friends, and have some comment that you'd like my guest to respond to, the number is 1-415-841-4134. This is a wonderful opportunity, if you do have some question about the criminal law, to pose it, because all four of my guests are, I guess if we were to put together all of the experience that my guests have had in the law, in the criminal area, we're probably talking about at least close to maybe 100 years. Well, am I going too far, Steve?
I'm 35 of it.
Okay,
that's a good start.
I'm 35. And Jeff, you've been doing this how long?
About 20.
And how long are you, Judge?
Well,
were you?
20 years.
20
judge,
years. So there we are. There's 75. Michael, how long have you been?
I'm new to the game. I've only been practicing for 10 years.
All right. So it's only 85 years of experience.
And Chuck, you're leaving yourself out.
And I'm leaving myself out. Okay. That's 40 years. Okay. All right. So if you would like to call in and ask a question, 1-415-841-4134. Where do you think we're going, Steve, with respect to rehabilitation in the area of the drug problem? Where do you think we're going? Do you see any hope at the end? Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes, completely. That's the whole purpose of realignment.
Mm-hmm.
Everything to do with what the legislature and Governor Brown did was to say, we recognize that the state, as the judge noted, the state is not properly dealing with our drug issue. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that for these lower-level offenders, felony offenders, they don't go to state prison anymore. They're going to stay with us in the county. And the state is providing money. Now, maybe people say not as much as we need, and I understand. But, for instance, last year, in the first year of realignment, of the approximately $5 million given to San Mateo County, that was all for treatment. The sheriff and the district attorney of the county took nothing. In the coming year, we have $14 million that has been set aside to try and deal. And in San Mateo County, and I hope all counties, they're trying to say, let's deal with treatment. Because our goal is...
$14 million where? For
San Mateo
what?
County
Just
alone.
Just for San Mateo.
San Mateo County alone for the fiscal year 2012-2013. We are spending almost all of that on treatment to try and help people. And our goal is, we want to make this work. We mm-hmm. want to be part mm-hmm. of it. The sheriff and I both want to be part of... Everybody says, let's try treatment. And if it works, what society? Mm-hmm. We're winners.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, then we know, well, then maybe this effort isn't the way, and maybe the old way is the way. I hope not. I hope the treatment program works. Getting it back to three strikes, as we're talking here, I know that in our county, we have a strict policy. Anybody who is a potential three striker, 25 to life, who is charged with a possession offense, possession of drugs of any sort, doesn't matter what the drug is, that if their attorney brings to us, hey, my client wants to go to a program, we will not wait for the judge. We will take that out of three strikes, and we will agree that that case, that person goes to treatment, because mm-hmm. we don't want to simply lock up simple possessors. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mislead. That's not true for dealers, but for people who are simple possessors, office policy. This person is willing to go to a program and deal with that probation department thinks is good. We want treatment for the person.
Let me throw a question to you, and this has been brought into the studio. Amending three strikes was on the ballot in 2004, and it was voted down. Now the Three Strikes Reform Act of 2012 seems to have a good chance of passing. What's changed in the last 8 years? Mike, what would you say has changed, if anything?
So, well, the Proposition 34 is quite different, first of all, from the reform that was proposed in 2004. Mm-hmm. And part of the thing that I think is pretty extraordinary about Proposition 36 is it was largely drafted by a Republican district attorney, Steve Cooley, from the largest county in the state. And it has some features that... preserve public safety. Like I said, nobody gets out of prison unless they prove that they're no longer a risk to public safety. That's new in Proposition 36. It's different from the 2004 effort. And as a result, Proposition 36 doesn't enjoy unanimous support by any stretch by the law enforcement community. But still, some of the prosecutors and police chiefs from the largest jurisdictions in the state are strongly behind Proposition 36 as a way to both restore the original intent of the three strikes law, help ease the prison overcrowding crisis, which is frankly new and wasn't in existence in 2004, mm-hmm. and also save the state. You know, the projection is over $100 million a year. So in some ways, the circumstances of the state have changed, including our budget. And in other ways, the proposition and the proposal has changed in that it's a more modest and law enforcement supported initiative.
Steve Wagstaff.
I want to echo what he said because it's completely correct. This is so different. Back in 2004, when dealing with that proposition, I think every single district attorney in the state, including Steve Coley, said, lousy, horrible, don't do it. This one here, I don't know a district attorney who would say this one. They may disagree with it, but every single one of them said this is far more palatable than what we did dealt with before. And that's why you do see district attorneys joining with Michael to say that this is a proper path to take.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jeff Hayden.
Even at that, Prop 66, which may have overshot the target, narrowly missed. It almost passed.
Mm-hmm.
This is a much more palatable, mild reform. It does much less. We could take a look at the individual pieces we need to over time. This is only the first.
Do we see that if Prop 36 passes, and it appears from the polls so far that it's leading in terms of passage on November 6th, what do we see next? What will be the next? Do you see anything else coming up in terms of a further, let's say, improvement on how to deal with convicted felons? Steve Wagstaff, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I think we just heard what Jeff's view is, and that's probably one of our arguments, which is for those of us who think this is a reasonable, good change, we don't want this to be, from our perspective, a slippery slope.
Yes.
So then we move to the next one.
Yeah.
And remember, these changes do take voter approval. And to that extent, we think this is a good middle ground for those of us who think it's a good idea. And if suddenly they want to take further steps, that's when they'll find the Steve Cooley or his successor mm-hmm. and the Jeff Rosens and George Gascon. I suspect they'll find people like us opposing it because we find this a good middle ground for the good application of the law, as Michael noted.
Any comments, Jeff?
I do agree it's a good middle ground. And in the proposition I mentioned, it's not looking to expand on this. It's
you're talking about the one you proposed at the State Bar Convention.
Yes, and okay. It's a very, very different reform. It's aimed at a different group. It's a completely anomalous change. I don't see the linkage at all. And okay. I agree. I don't think that this is seen by most of the people supporting it as a slippery slope. We mm-hmm. need to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, again, if you are interested in trying to find it, and I think you can probably find it on the Internet, I assume, this very well-written article in the Sunday, September 30th edition of the San Francisco Chronicle entitled Drug Care Called Key to Avoid Third Strike. I suggest if you're interested in looking into it further, you might want to see if you can Google it and take a look at it. It's very interesting and worthwhile reading. Any other comments? We have about two minutes left. Mike, you want to take a minute or so and we'll give someone else a chance to speak?
Sure. I mean, I don't want to give voters out there the impression that this is such a slam dunk win that really people don't need to go out and support the three strikes law. Although Proposition 36. Although Proposition 36 enjoys, you know, a really true bipartisan effort between law enforcement, civil rights groups, I need to encourage people to go out and vote yes on 36. Just today, speaking of drugs, I was working on a case where my client was sentenced to life for possession of 0.03 grams of methamphetamine. That's the dust on the inside of a tiny plastic bag. And prosecutors are fighting to keep this person in prison for the rest of their lives. There's incredible injustices out there. The three strikes law and people who are serving life sentences for minor crimes, it's applied disproportionately against African Americans. It's applied disproportionately against mentally ill and mentally retarded defendants. And this is really a modest reform to help those people who have really been mistreated under the justice system.
We have 30 seconds left. Anyone want to take that 30 seconds?
How does one add to that?
Okay. All right. I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure having you, all of you back on the program. All of you have been guests before, and you've been listening to Jeff Hayden, member of the board of the legal specialization of the State Bar of California, District Attorneys Stephen Wagstaff, San Mateo County, Mike Romano, Director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School, and Judge Eugene Hyman, Santa Clara County Superior Court retired. Thank you very much for joining us. By the way, I want to mention to you again that next week, if you are facing or someone close to you is facing a home foreclosure, we're going to be talking about the basics of home foreclosure. Also, it is our Call a Lawyer night. I hope you will join us with an opportunity for you to talk to an attorney off the air at 1-800-525-9917 starting at 7 p.m. Your Legal Rights production staff members are Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, by the San Mateo County Bar Association, by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Thank you very much for listening to the program. I'm Chuck Finney.